Well, Michael Yo is going to join us in studio. Tia Carrere is going to join us in studio. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
I don't remember anything about that game. First of all, I was so pissed, but I was so drunk, too.
What's up, heroes? I'm Brendan Fitzgibbons.
And I'm Sophie Santos.
And we're the co-hosts of the new comedy sports podcast, Hammered Heroes.
On Hammered Heroes, we celebrate the best performances by professional athletes while they were hammered, on drugs, or horribly hungover.
Myself, Santana, and Sean, prior to the game, we would take a little shot.
Each week, we'll discuss a game or incident that focuses on an athlete's mind-blowing performance despite being extremely hammered.
Doc Ellis working on a no-hitter.
It was easier to pitch with the LSD. That's the way I was dealing with the fear of failure.
Think of it as drunk history meets 30 for 30 meets Jackass.
We're going to have the best comedians, sports personalities, and even the hammered heroes themselves.
And then we're even going to try and recreate some of these legendary performances.
Will we always be drunk?
No. Yes.
It's hammered heroes.
Available wherever you get your podcasts.
So the record was 73.
73 beers and a cross-country flight.
Yeah.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Michael Yo and Tia Carrera. And now, we're not worthy. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The choice is going to mend it. Get it on. And welcome to the program. A little different format for today's show. Michael Yo is joining us.
Hello. Did everybody bail on you or what?
I don't even know. I'm having a tough morning.
I heard. You look like it. I mean, you look good, but you look like, you know, you came in and you're like, there's a lot.
Let me tell you, Michael. My life is just a never-ending succession of me going, but what about this? But what about this? But what about this? And everyone goes, duh, 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 duh. Okay. I've had trouble with notaries lately. I don't know if you've had trouble with notaries, but my truck got towed up north. So I was doing a race at Laguna Seca. They pulled my truck over. I wasn't driving it. It's my truck that tows the trailer with the race car in it.
Gotcha.
It got pulled over and it got towed because it had expired tabs on it. And I don't know why it needed to be towed, but it got towed. And then it got put into an impound lot. And then we had to find another truck to tow the race trailer back because the place was closed over the weekend. And the deal was, in order to get the truck out of impound, since I'm not personally going back to Monterey to go get the truck out of impound, there needed to be a form. The form is a release form. So my release form would say, Michael Yo is going to pick my truck up out of impound because the impound lot will not release it to you because you're not me and my name is on the registration for the truck.
Because you own it, of course. Yeah.
Right. So, pretty simple equation. I don't know, $1,800 later.
Wait, for a notary or the?
No, for the truck, the tow, the impound, the whole thing. It's a whole clusterfuck. But they kept saying, so my guy's like, they need a form that says they release it to me, my name. And I said, what is this form? And he said, I don't know. But they need a form. And I said, well, we need the form. And the form has to be notarized. And I said, I can get the notary, but I don't know what is the form. And he's like, I don't know what the form is, but they need something that says I can get it. Anyway, smash cut to notary comes here last Thursday, blah, blah, blah. I keep saying to everyone around me, what is the form? We need a form. The notary guy like writes up a thing, like a release form, and then we notarize it. but he doesn't put the name of the guy who it's getting released to on. And now he calls me 5 minutes ago from Monterey and says, I'm standing here at the impound lot and we have this notarized form, but my name isn't on it. And so now it's this mad cluster dash to get the notary back, drop a new form. Chris, you were somewhere around when I kept saying, where's the form? We need a form.
Yeah.
Where's the form? And everyone just kept going, don't worry about it. We got the notary coming. I was like, but what is the form that we're filling out? And everyone had no answer.
Hey, chill out, man. The notary's coming.
The notary's coming. And he wrote up a thing, but he left the guy's name off it, who it's getting released to, and now he can't get it released to him.
That's the first thing I thought about. You have to have the name on it. And for your notary not to know that, I wouldn't use that same guy.
Well, that same guy's going to be here. So
you need to get on his ass because he should have known that.
Chris, how many fucking notary clusterfucks have I had in the last 6 months?
We've had so many notaries just walking through here. I can't keep track of them.
My son wanted a passport, and I got it notarized, and then the guy said, oh, but you didn't write the date in, so the guy had to come back and do it again, and then the other parent didn't have the name on it. It's fucking... Let me tell you something, Michael. I am telling you... Everybody within the sound of my voice, if you could get your wife or partner, significant other, whomever, if you could get that person very early on in life and say, you got two things and only two things you have to do for me. You have to learn how to cut my hair and you have to be certified as a notary. You can get someone certified as a notary. If that person who was a certified notary public was within your home or your business, or if Chris was certified,
yeah,
or your wife was certified, whatever, your life would be so much fucking better from that point on. You sail through your whole life with a beautiful haircut,
yeah,
and everything notarized.
You just go to the kitchen and be like, boom, do it.
And I don't even know. It probably takes, you know, a couple of tests, fingerprint, certification. I was certified to teach comedy traffic school.
Yes.
I went down to the DMV one day. I took a like 300 question test in the back of the DMV. They fingerprint you, they photograph you, and from that day on, you are certified as a comedy traffic teacher, or really just a traffic school teacher.
Yeah. Now here's a question: could any of your staff take the test and actually pass it? So which one do you have faith in?
Weirdly, Dawson.
Okay.
Because
there you go.
Dawson was a good student. He dances a line between kind of world-class Hesher and super responsible citizen.
I can see that.
It's the best of all worlds.
Yeah. You need to get him to take the test, and then you'll have one in-house.
Yeah. What would it take? I mean, Chris, you can look it up, but how does one become a certified notary public?
Well, let me just drop this on you first to see if it's even worth it. Because in California, a notary public is not prohibited from notarizing for relatives or others unless it would provide a direct financial or beneficial interest to the notary public. Does that matter?
No, I think we could still pull this one off.
Okay, then
but Dawson's not, you know, I think of him as family, but technically. Let's look into this because at this point, and I don't know how you're doing with the haircutting, Dawson. Maybe we can farm that out to somebody else.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to you for the haircut.
I am telling you, if the day you met your wife or your wife met you, your husband, or whatever it is, if one of you just said, I shall learn to cut the other person's hair and I shall be notarized, I will be a notary public, your life would be 80% better.
Yeah, I would never trust my wife, though, with my hair.
You wouldn't?
No.
But your hair's the same as my hair. You just need the clippers,
yeah,
right?
The clippers, but you got to do it right. I need a fade. I need it to blend in. Come on, Adam. I'm trying to look fresh over here, you know?
I think I could. Here's my thing.
No, you kidding.
Give me those clippers. I could cut your hair. Look, if I could get my own head off of me,
you could
and
cut your
work
hair?
On it like one of those styrofoam things, I could do my own hair.
Well, back in the day, like my wife's dad used a Flobee. You remember that Flobee thing? Mm-hmm. You just kind of put it over your hair and sucked it all in. And
doesn't work with our kind of hair, though.
No.
It's got a flow.
Yeah.
Your hair doesn't move.
It doesn't.
You got the same hair I got.
Oh.
You could dunk yourself in a swimming pool and come up, and it would look exactly the same as before you went into the deep end.
No movement at all.
But you're not, I don't know how old you are.
47.
47. Yeah. So you kind of missed the whole kind of long hair, feathered hair, whatever hair.
Well, I couldn't do
movement.
It anymore.
No, you couldn't do it.
No, I did want it. I was like growing up in Houston around, you know, because I was into pop. I was into the, what was it, alternative, like Nirvana and all that stuff. I wanted the long hair. And I would even straighten it to try to get the long, when I was younger.
How did you straighten it?
They would put all this conditioner and stuff, and it was just, it was horrible.
There's got to be pictures of you around.
Oh, there is. I was much heavier then, but it's when I was on Fear Factor, my hair would stick up, and I was like, I wanted straight hair so bad, but my hair didn't do it. I just had identity problems, or I wanted to be something I couldn't be, but I always love that thing where the guys can whip their hair.
Yes.
I wanted to do that.
That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to whip it around.
Whip it around in the early 90s. That was the thing, you know, the late 90s.
Oh, you missed the 70s. There was tons of hair whipping.
Yeah, yeah.
It was feathered hair.
Yeah. See, but I couldn't even do it. See that picture? That's me on Fear Factor. That was the pilot episode of Fear Factor. My hair still, that was with straightener in it, and it still didn't get that straight.
Yeah. But now it's good.
Yeah.
All right. So I got a question, and it's been vexing me, and I haven't been able to figure it out, and maybe you can help solve this riddle. We were at the Salt Lake City Airport on Sunday. It was early Sunday morning, did shows at Wise Guys, and then came home.
What a great club, by the way.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
A good time there.
Yeah.
So we were traveling through the airport at about 8 in the morning on Sunday morning, and I saw a guy go past us, and this is something I've never seen inside an airport, and I've been in every airport in this country and beyond. And you tell me if you've ever seen it, and I'll put it to Dawson over there. Are you certified yet, Dawson?
Not yet, but I got the application here online.
Now, look, lest you think this is just for me, this could be a little side hustle for you, Dawson. I mean, you know, evenings, weekends. Okay. So a guy goes by in a recumbent bicycle. Do you know what a recumbent bicycle looks like?
The ones that lay back in the
air. Yeah. It's like, it's basically a lounge chair for people who like exercise. It's like,
it's the laziest way to exercise.
Right. It's like, I like the notion of cycling, but I don't like sitting up. So I'm just going to lay down and I'm going to ride the bike. I do have an observation about the recumbent bike guy, because you'll see him traveling around here, around Griffith Park and going up and down. You'll see on a Sunday morning a pack of guys on 10 speeds. It's a very social endeavor.
It is.
You'll see a group of 18 or 20 guys all buzzing down the thing. They met somewhere at 6 in the morning. Now it's 8:30 and they're going on mile 20. And it's a very social thing, the 10 speed. Sunday morning, go around Griffith Park. The guy in the recumbent bike, lone wolf. He's always traveling alone. You never see a pack of recumbent bikes. It's one dude. He keeps to himself. You know, it's kind of Unabomber.
Yeah,
mentality.
He just wants to get away from everything.
He doesn't like people.
No.
He wants to lay down on his bike and pedal around with his feet higher than his head. Someone needs to explain this to me. It would be, you would think, a more elite group. You know, you would think you would see lone 10 speeders more than you would see groups of guys on recumbent bikes, but you'd think you'd see a flock of like-minded recumbent bike guys. They do not play well together. Maybe it's because they're too wide.
They're too wide, but also I feel like if you get to a point where you're in a recumbent bike, you've given up. on life. You know, you're like, okay, I am laying down when I exercise. I don't care about life anymore.
Right. And Not interested in socializing on the road.
I don't care what people think about me.
I'm laying down. Judge all you want. So I'm just saying, everyone has seen groups of cyclists times a million, just big groups. There's the hipster cyclist guys with the direct drive chain thing. There's the 10 speeders on the weekends. Never seen a flock of recumbent bike guys.
Also, recumbent bike guys aren't young. They're all old, and that's another reason. No. Like, every recumbent bike is 70 plus. I've never seen a young person on a recumbent bike.
You're exactly right. And unless you've been to the Salt Lake City airport on Sunday at 8 a.m., when I saw, the guy was probably 35, could have been 40, going along in the airport, deep into the airport, on the other side of security, guy goes by on a recumbent bike. Inside of the airport.
Yeah.
And we're on the other side of security. Now, look, I've seen people in wheelchairs, and I've seen the folks with the people mover thing where they've got everyone sitting there and the woman at the airport's driving them through the crowd or whatever. I've seen, I've seen many things with wheels. I've seen a lot of luggage with wheels, a lot of people with wheels. I've seen weird guys on little Lark scooters and stuff like that.
Yeah, I saw the scooter with the guy with the sprained ankle just rolling through.
Guys pedaling a recumbent bike through an airport.
Yeah, fully reclined.
Fully reclined. And then he stops. He gets off the bike. By the way, there's many things to explore, but he gets off of the bike. He sits down and he starts eating a deli sandwich. And so I walk up to him.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, because I got to know.
You got
to
know. You
got
to know.
I got to know. And I go, hey, you got a recumbent bike. How does that work in the airport? Because it's not like the luggage cart that's at the airport. This is his bike.
Well, yeah.
That he got onto the other side of security and is pedaling his bike through the airport, and he's going on a flight.
Well, first of all, I should have never got through security. They should have a rule where you can't do that in the. I hate people like that.
So
this guy just wants attention because he never gets it at home.
He certainly got it.
So I walk up to him and I go, "Hey, I like your recumbent bike. How do you get it in the airport?" And he gets defensive. He bristles and he points at the disability lanyard placard that's on the bike. He points at it and he goes, "I have a disability. My back, my knees, my neck." I said, "Okay, yeah." And I go, then my mind is racing. Like, it's difficult for an able-bodied person to get out of a recumbent bike. That's like a three-man job. Yeah. You got to have people help you get out of that bike.
Because I was wondering too. It's like, oh, this must be a medical thing. And then he stops the bike and just does a perfect sit up to stand. Like, I can't even do that.
That is the worst thing for a handicapped person, that bike.
Right. A wheelchair is a lot easier to get out of than a recumbent bike. So he points at this. Now, Chris has a picture. We have a picture of the bike.
Yeah. Well, and there's something else to it, but yeah, put it up.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
He's sitting there eating. He's got a recumbent bike, but he also has a giant, thick walking stick, a 4 foot long walking stick. And I said, did you go through security with your walking stick? And he's like, yep. And I'm like, but it is kind of a weapon. I mean, you could club someone over the head with it, like on the plane. And he's like, yeah, I've had this walking. I got it. Got it right here in Salt Lake and blah, blah, blah. And so I kept talking to him about his bike. And
did he have all his senses? Was he a normal guy that had
totally normal.
Okay.
Said he has a disability.
All right.
Says he has some like joint problems. Now, again, getting just in and out of a recumbent bike and then pedaling your way through an airport suggests to me that you're pretty able-bodied.
Yeah.
But he somehow put in for this disability thing and somehow got his bike certified as a disability vehicle, I guess like you would with your wheelchair or something. The walking stick part, I don't know how that cleared security. And now then travels. Now he then has to pack the recumbent bike on the flight, which I guess you do like when some people have like strollers for twins for kids, or triples for triplets or something, and they push it up to the end of the...
We do that with our double stroller. We push it in, they take it, and then they put it back on the bridge before you, when you get off the flight.
So this guy's... So when this guy travels, he... I don't know if he rides his recumbent bike to the airport, but I'm guessing he doesn't. I'm guessing he takes... By the way, this is not some sort of space saver folding recumbent bike. It's just a full-blown recumbent bike. He must throw it in the back of an SUV or something, then pull it out.
It seems like
push
more,
it through security. What's going on?
It seems like if you're handicapped, that's more work. Look, if I was handicapped, I would just show up to the airport, throw me in a wheelchair, take me to the gate.
Right.
I'm off.
Or you know, if you would like to take Michael Yo, who's the opposite of handicap, and handicap him, I would say you must travel with this recumbent bike. And then you would be fucked up. You'd be dragging this thing around. You'd be way behind us the whole time. We'd be like, where's Michael? He's struggling with this recumbent bike.
It seems more problems than it. I mean, this is a guy that just wants attention.
This is a crazy person who is using the system.
And look, I don't mind using the system sometimes, but for this, I would not use it on this. Let's
put it this way. As far as the system goes, if you want to go talk to your doctor and tell him you need some medical marijuana card because you're having trouble sleeping or something, that's just between you and your God. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with me. This is shit people are tripping over and having to load up and unload and put. There's somebody behind this guy in security. When he's going through the security line on a recumbent bike, somebody's behind him while he's explaining to the gate guy how and why. This guy's, look, you can be too crazy to fly.
Oh, like 100%.
I want people certified like you're too nuts to fly. We can't let you on the plane.
I agree.
You have a comfort recumbent bike that you travel with.
And speaking about that, can we put people in exit rows that actually can get out the exit row instead of just putting anybody in there?
Somebody's going to have to sit next to this guy with his giant walking club. He's like Moses coming down from the mountain with this giant club.
Does he have to put that in the overhead bin, the giant club? I know they're not going to let him sit there.
It's
with
too
the stick.
Long for the overhead bin.
No way it would fit in the overhead bin. Yeah, for those who are just listening to the podcast, this is not just like a regular cane. This is like a stick that someone would find in the forest of like a walkabout in Australia that you just keep because it's so large.
They're not going to let him sit in the seat with this giant just sitting down.
It's
on
a
the
staff.
It's a staff.
Here's the whole thing. A walking stick should not be able to go up to your shoulder. It should only be able to go up to your hip.
Yes.
Right? That's a cane. That's a hip. If it goes up higher, it's a weapon. And this guy's like Joe Don Baker from Walking Tall. Like, he literally got all his business done with a 2x4. He cleaned up a whole town with a 2x4 as a weapon. This is a weapon. Some person is going to have to sit next to this crazy person.
That's what I'm saying.
But there's no way they
definitely didn't let him on with the bike, and they definitely didn't let him on with the stick. They let him through the airport. But that stick, I guarantee they did not let him on the flight.
Once you go through security with your shit, it's going onto the plane.
Underneath.
You think he's checking the stick? It's a stick check? I don't know.
There's no way they're going to let him. What's he going to... Can you imagine him sitting at his seat with this giant staff just sitting there on the aisle?
And what?
They wouldn't let him do it. It'd be him. No. No.
All right. Do you guys all feel that you could go to 1,000 airports for 1,000 years and you will never see another recumbent bike?
I've never seen one. I travel all the time. I've never seen one.
Has anyone ever experienced this?
First time.
Hopefully I'm still having trouble kind of wrapping my mind around it. Like, yeah. He rolled it through security. There's a placard on it that is a handicap.
I see that.
Placard.
But I guarantee you that's his excuse for the staff, too.
How more able-bodied could you be than I will push my recumbent bike through the airport, then I will ride it through the airport, then I will go get a sandwich. He's getting on and off the bike. He said in England or Australia, they don't let him ride the recumbent bike through the airport.
Well, also, you're starting at the lowest point getting up. You know what I mean? Like, so yes. To be handicapped, you're putting yourself, you're starting from the ground trying to get up.
I said, what's the speed limit? Like, how's it work? He's like, I just travel the same speed as like the people mover and the little electric carts that they're shuffling people around. I can go that speed. If I go over that. But you want a crazy man? I mean, you could pedal that thing at 30 miles an hour if you wanted, and you would just low bridge anybody who had their back turned to you. But yes, Dawson.
Did you ask him where he was going?
No, that's on me. He was very defensive when I approached him.
Does he take the recumbent bike down the jetway and then they gate check it when he gets on the plane?
That's what they do.
They have to.
They have to.
And those guys hate him.
I know.
Oh.
Because Michael's like double wide stroller, just weighs 30 pounds, folds in, and pop right over there, got a carrying case. This shit, there's nothing you can do with this shit. It's rolling around the bottom of the plane.
You know, when they grab that thing, they're just throwing it in the plane, too. They're just like it's junk, just like. They don't care about that bike. They got a bike down there or a big staff.
All right. Well, I've never seen this.
Yeah. By the way, if Adam Carolla ever approaches you at the airport and says, hey, I like your hat, dog, or coming bike, can I take a picture? Don't let him do it.
Yeah. Don't let me do it because I'm making fun of you.
Now, when you approached him, since he's handicapped, did he stand up?
No.
Oh, he says.
He sat there eating a Jimmy John's sandwich. And he initially was in a defensive posture.
Uh-huh.
But he also did this thing. I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, Michael, but sometimes when you talk to crazy people, sometimes it's a homeless person, mm-hmm. sometimes it's just crazy. Their first impulse is sort of back off. You know, I'm like, hey, man, what do you want? Like I said, hey, recumbent bike. That's interesting. Never seen one in an airport. And he just pointed at the handicap placard and went, I'm handicapped. And he sort of went down to eating his sandwich again. 3 minutes later, he wouldn't shut up and I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Once he got on a roll, pardon the pun, with that, a recumbent roll with that bike, man, then he was telling me about different airports, different rules, traffic speeds, protocols. And at a certain point, I was like, okay thanks, man. I got a plane over. I got to make my plane.
Well, what that tells me is,
if you talk to crazy people, they don't want to talk at the beginning, but they don't want to end in the middle. Once you open them up.
It's done. Well, obviously, he pointed to the handicap sticker because you're not the first one to ask him about it, why he needs it in there. So that's why he got so. This has happened before. This conversation has happened over and over in his life. That's why he's like, handicap.
All right.
And then you open him up, and then he was like,
yeah. But we were, if I would have stayed another 5 minutes, there would have been tears at some point and discussion of stepdad and what was done to him. And I didn't want any more of that.
But why does this not surprise me in Salt Lake City, though? Like, if there's an airport, because I've been for Salt Lake City, for some reason, this seems like something that would happen in that airport. This would not happen in New York. LaGuardia, oh, man, they would knock that dude off that thing.
Think about laying down in a recumbent bike and pedaling your way through a crowded, like I've been to LAX where it's been packed. Like you couldn't walk 4 feet without banging into somebody. How would you navigate that?
Well, people would get too irritated. Like that airport, you know, they're nice in Salt Lake City.
And there's nobody in
there.
There's nobody in.
There's no way if it was packed you could do that.
I wonder, God damn it, I should have talked to this guy longer. Do you think he's ever taken his recumbent bike on the people mover, on the moving sidewalk. Because he could probably go 40, 50 miles right. an hour.
And, he just launches
like a Tom Cruise off a carrier at the end. Just boom. He like goes airborne. Right. Fireworks.
Jimmy John's Jimmy flying.
Sandwiches flying everywhere. Staff over his head. Bolt of lightning coming from it. Like he could, if he really wanted to go hard, he could go 40, 50 miles an hour and then be launched at the end.
Oh, my God.
Jesus
Christ. That's like a movie poster. It's just him with the staff. Oh, that's great.
So then we landed in Burbank.
Yes.
And you know there's that in Burbank Airport. You probably landed in it.
Yep.
Not earlier today.
Yep.
They have a... it's a sort of a covered walkway. It's about 10 feet wide, and it goes from where you cross the street in front of Southwest to where the valet parking yep. thing is by the big parking structure. Mm-hmm. And we had done our show Saturday night, you know, got out of the club at midnight, got back to the hotel, you know, 12:30, and went to bed at 1:30, met down in the lobby at 6:45, yep. you know. Got into it, the recumbent bike guy at 8:15 at the airport. And we got our carry-ons, and we got this the stuff that's checked. And Mike, Chris, and myself are all walking toward the valet where the car has been pulled around. And we're all kind of tucked to the right. Like everyone has.
Single file,
tucked to the right. Walking under, well, this thing's about 10 foot wide. It's a long strip of cement. It's got the awning over the head. We're all tucked into the right, single file, walking with the duffel bag or pulling the roller thing behind us or whatever it is. And some woman with no luggage comes the other direction. And if she's about 20 feet away from us, coming the other direction, and she goes, "Make room!
Make room, gentlemen, make room.
Make room!" As if we're zigzagging in the middle of the walkway. And I was like, we were all single file and tucked to the right. Who is this cunt, Michael?
It's a white woman.
Oh, yeah.
It's a white woman.
It's a white woman with no luggage.
No luggage.
She had no luggage, and she's yelling, "Make room."
You didn't even have to say she was a white. I knew she was a white woman.
I said she's a school teacher, too.
Oh, white woman. No. Maybe old? Like a counselor. Yeah. Some type of counselor.
She's like 55.
Oh, yeah.
And she just yelled, "Make room," to three guys that were tucked to the right, walking single file, dragging luggage.
Just kept repeating it until she was passed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, definitely not married.
No.
No, nobody, nah.
No. And what? And then what? How does she go through? I always say, we just had a 1.5 second encounter with this bitch, and all three of us want to kill her. But she lives with somebody, or she has kids, or she has a classroom. Like, what is she like normally? This is Sunday morning. This is just
at like 9:30. Yeah,
9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday. She's yelling at three strangers who are walking single file with perfect context. We're at an airport. We're leaving the airport. We have things that we're carrying.
How did you not say something to her?
I did.
He did.
Oh, you did. Okay,
yeah.
Good. I was like, because you stopped and you didn't say what you said. Because I was like, how did you not respond to that?
I just turned and went, "Do you work here?" Because that was the first. I mean, that's what it sounded like. It sounded like there was an emergency van or something that was coming behind her or something. But there wasn't anything. It was just
her.
Her with no luggage. Just walking toward the airport yelling at us. Yeah. Who are these people?
Crazy. Okay. Crazy, lonely people.
Okay, so when I'm in charge,
yeah,
she's flagged. Recumbent bike guy's flagged.
Yeah.
Too crazy to fly.
I agree.
Yes, you're on my list. You cannot interact with other. Here's what the airport requires of its citizens. It's like a giant ant farm where none of the ants know each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. They're not in the same family. These are stranger ants that have all been put into the same ant farm. They must walk past each other. They must navigate. They must negotiate. And there has to be an understanding that all the ants are sane. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Well, one wrong ant will screw everything
up. We have to have protocols. Everyone has to play by the same rules. We have to be sane. You two nutbags have to be pulled out of the ant farm.
Because if she gets into the airport, who knows? What would happen to this woman inside the airport?
Well, there's three people, us, walking single file off to the right, pulling our luggage behind us, and she's already yelling at us. Imagine when she gets into the fucking baggage carousel or just into the Southwest terminal, how many humans she's yelling at.
Now, this question may sound, but was she a bigger lady where she needed more room to get by or no?
She's this sort of medium size, middle-aged, white chick.
She just sounds like she's already annoyed with us. And I'm really self-conscious about this kind of stuff. Like, if I am a hassle to anybody, it actually hangs on me pretty heavy. And, this time we did nothing wrong, so it was just confusing.
Yeah, well, some people just wake up just, like, I don't know. Those people, I run into it all the time. I run into attitudes all the time at the airport. Or if you accidentally... Because when you put your baggage in, what I hate for me is when you put your baggage through security, people will wait. As soon as you go through the gate, you know that little part to wait for your luggage?
Yeah.
They don't move down. So it's just clogged. It's like, move. Just move. It's like people lose their common sense when they show up to an airport for some reason. People lose it. They lose common sense.
All right. So she had no luggage.
No luggage.
There was a family. Was it like a black family that was behind there? Was she running interference for them?
Was it a famous family behind her?
Definitely not a famous
the
family.
The OJs. The whole band. But there was a group behind
her.
She
didn't act like she knew them or anything.
She wasn't connected to them.
She wasn't.
No.
She didn't look like she worked for the airport?
No.
No.
She starts, and Adam just goes, "Do you work here?" And she turns on sarcastic and just goes, "Yeah, I do." And then just kept walking.
Oh, like, she had a little attitude on it, too. Look at that. She gave it back.
I'm so – okay. I've said this to Chris 2,000 times on the road. Did you ever think adults would be this stupid?
No.
Like, did you ever think this is what adults would be? When you were a kid, I didn't think adults would be this way. I thought they were all sort of normal and sane and responsible.
We wanted to be adults when we were kids.
Yes.
Adults are idiots, man.
What the fuck happened to adults?
I don't know, man. It's just everybody got opinions. You give everybody opinions.
Imagine just walking through airports on a Sunday just yelling at strangers who are walking past you with luggage.
And what is that going to fix or not? You know, like you're just yelling. You're just a crazy person yelling in an airport. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. Just people yell in airports. People do things that are things. Because I live in Vegas, so every time I land, it's a party out there, right? But people do... Like, people will yell where it sounds like there's a shooter in the airport, you know?
I get the part where your flight was delayed by 2 hours, so you go to the local bar and you get a little overserved or something, and maybe your team's up on the big screen and you're yelling for the team or something, but this is sober Sunday morning, outdoors, open area, just being yelled at by a person that's walking past us with tons of room.
Yeah, it's just...
All right.
It just goes back to people are just idiots. And now I think this is a social media thing. I think people are just so used to seeing ridiculous things and it's just becoming more acceptable. So they start doing it in public places. And I really feel that's what is happening.
All right. Well, let me do a spot. Tia Carreras coming in a second. Do you know her?
Oh, I don't personally know her, but I've been a big fan forever.
Everyone's a big fan.
Yeah, she's so nice. She's great.
Well, yeah. She's nice. I just saw her at Joe Coy's after party, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to her in a second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Nothing matters more than the safety of you and your loved ones. But old school home security companies use outdated technology, overcharge you, and lock you into multi-year contracts. That's why I use and trust Simply Safe. It's a great product. Batteries last up to 10 years, peel and stick. Easy to set up. Do it yourself. Don't have a bunch of ex-cons who call themselves technicians crawling through your house. 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe's agents dispatch police or first responders the moment a threat is detected, even if you're not home or can't be reached. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Adam. Save 20% when you sign up for interactive monitoring. And get your first month for free. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam. Simplysafe.com/Adam. Sign up and save. All right, Tia's going to join us. Michael's going to hang. Michael's very funny special, by the way, called I Never Thought. It is available on YouTube, and I watched it, I think, the last time you came in here before.
Ago,
It's very well done, and very funny. It's got some live dates coming up. Denver Comedy Work. Oh, we've been there. It's a great place. Milwaukee Improv, and you can go to michaelyo.com to find out the dates and where he's going to be. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
People of Earth, it's time for another installment of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we got things that will take care of your body, soul, and scrotum. Like a sample pack of Tame the Beast Nut Butter, a blend with Tuck Everlasting anti-aging and anti-chafing ingredients that will keep your sack high and tight. We've also got the great Dano's Seasoning, who will make each and every kind of meat taste even better, whether it's beef, pork, or your fellow man. Dano's is low sodium and no sugar, so even Vinny will approve. We've also got Nude Mints to not only freshen your breath, but your gut biome too. These incredible products and a bottle of your choice can be found at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25. So prep your mails box. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. The Adam Carolla Show presents Tia Carrera's birthday cocktail party for January 2nd. Let's see who's here. Let's welcome American politician Barry Goldwater, General Hospital actress Anna Lee, Russian scientist, the author of iRobot, Isaac Asimov, televangelist Jim Baker, Led Zeppelin's tour manager Richard Cole, zoologist Jack Hanna, funk and R&B singer from Sly and the Family Stone, Don Silva, Andrea from Beverly Hills 90210, Gabrielle Carteris, boxer Pernell Whitaker, boxer and the actor from Rocky V, Tommy Morrison, Cuba Gooding Jr. is here. Let's welcome model Christy Turlington. Tay Diggs is here. Dax Shepard joined the party. Kate Bosworth just showed up. Step aside for the king of the road, a man of means by no means, Roger Miller. Tia Carrera on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know, it started off pretty weak.
A little obscure.
But then some A-listers and some athletes started popping up, so good good on you on that birthday, Tia.
Goodness, I like the psychological profile. You know, have you done that ENJF or whatever? It's a psych test. You figure out what you are. Are you a manager? Are you a introvert, extrovert? I like that list better. It was like Mother Teresa and Oprah and all these other people are like you. I'm like, I like that list better.
What did we find? I've never taken that test.
Me neither.
It took my 16-year-old daughter to tell me, well, go here and you'll figure out, are you an extrovert, narcissist, something. It's like ENJF. I think that's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look it up. You ask some teenager because the whole thing is like a psych test thing that they do online and it'll tell you who you are and what your style is and other people that are like you. It's like 5 pages telling you who you are.
Myers-Briggs test.
Ah, excellent.
So I'm told it's called.
Yes.
By the way, Easter Sunday is the movie Tia can be found in, which is excellent. And I saw it at the premiere, and that's the last time I saw Tia at the after party.
It's on demand now, too, if you don't want to spend $157 to take your family to the movies. Well, you can wait till next Saturday and go for $3. Do you hear that? Next Saturday, $3 movies.
Yeah, it's like, I guess, national try to get people back to the theaters day.
Yeah.
And they're doing a $3 movie deal.
I think that's nice. It's
It is. But if you think about, I mean, I guess, but I got kids too, and most of the expense of the movies at the concession stand.
Yes.
So the $3 is a nice, it's a savings of $8 or $10. I don't know what a movie ticket is. $13, 11
More.
Bucks, 15
yeah.
bucks.
It's like $15, $16 now.
At that Cinepolis, it's like 20 bucks.
Yeah.
The recliners.
Well, yeah, but this
but
is.
But those aren't going $3.
And this is. We are. Yeah. Oh, they're not.
No. I don't think the expensive ones.
It's
where they
Regency
have the
and yeah. AMC, Regent and AMC and
where's,
stuff like
that. So, all right. So let's just track the evolution of the movie theater. When I was a kid, I'd go to the movie theater and you would sit upright and watch the movie. The chairs were just chairs.
Rigid.
Just sit there.
Hard.
Right. And then at some point we went, you must be in a full recline position to watch a movie. Like I want like a recumbent bike guy at the movie. I wonder if he sits up ironically.
Right.
But all of a sudden you lay down and you stretch out. Now for me, I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but it feels a little intimate. It's like crawling into someone else's bed.
Mm.
Some because dudes kick their shoes off, they pull it back. Their ass hangs out all over it. They fall asleep. They drool on it.
I feel like
I'm laying down in somebody's bed. Sometimes it's warm when you get in there because a fat guy fell asleep during the double feature. But now, okay, so now, and now we go food, but bring us the food.
Yeah.
And bring us
the
drinks.
We're the laziest people ever.
So now we're in a full reclined position and someone is serving us food. Is the next evolution of this somebody feeding us?
Probably.
Like we have our own squire, our seconds or something?
It's like Wall-E. We're just going to be rolling around on recumbent bikes, fat as fuck, like having like siphons of food going into our mouth from our hat.
I think you will show up and you will be assigned like a Sherpa. Or a squire. And they will follow you around and you'll go into the bathroom. They'll go, unzip my fly, dude. Okay.
Oh, dear.
And then at some point you go, I'll get my own dick out. I'm not gay. I'm just lazy. There's a difference between fine line between gay and lazy. And then what? Does it just stand next to you? Like,
I tell you what's next is nobody's going to leave their house. They're going to put on Oculus glasses and they're going to pretend like
have
they're
a virtual life.
Virtual
we
life.
We won't have lives.
It's going to be like The Matrix, man. It's
yes.
going to be
Matrix
like The Matrix
meets Wall-E.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
The Matrix, they were all skinny and they were hot. You know, this is the opposite.
This is going to be all fat
be
people and Oculuses just not
rolling around.
Well, speaking.
A dire projection of our world.
Yeah, you're kind of right that we may as well. Like right now we're in some phase where everyone's trying to lose weight, but why don't we just give up and just let our avatar look good and we'll just float in some sort of viscous jelly or something and eat. Like why try?
Well, we've got the Instagram with the filters. We really look like avatars now. Some people are unrecognizable.
I've met so many people taking pictures with so many people. And then when you see them,
it's like,
And it's like, this is not the person I met. Yeah, this is not the person I met
at all.
Tia, you're performing your 2 Grammys, right?
Yes. Nice.
With, what will we call it? Traditional island music or something?
Best Hawaiian albums with my childhood friend Daniel Ho. So Daniel Ho and Uncle George Kahumoku Jr. and myself are going out on tour, spreading the aloha spirit.
Do you play the ukulele?
I just sing. I have played the ukulele, but Daniel's so amazing on it. Yeah. Ukulele, yeah.
Oh, I should say ukulele? But would you think I was a blowhard?
What do you mean? Calling it a ukulele? No, I think you are howly, like you are. Just
yeah, I'm just saying, am I usurping your culture or something with the ukulele?
I won't judge you harshly.
You won't judge me?
No.
All right.
Oh, you have to call it Hawaii and ukulele. No, I don't expect that of you, Adam.
Do you get back?
We go too far back for that.
Do you get back to the islands?
Not enough. Like once a year, I'm going to go there in October. My grandma's last living sister is going to have a party reunion at her house. So October 22nd. Oh, everybody's invited.
And you go out and you perform and you do a set.
And we have hula dancers and just, you know, go out and just live. Like, it's like I can't live in Hawaii what we do, you know. Living in Hollywood is where I need to be. And until I go back and do my showroom show, you know, my vision board is like me back in, you know, the Hilton Hawaiian Village showroom show, like Don Ho. You know, you've heard of Don Ho. There's another hoe in town, something like that, or, you know, tiny bubbles. The bubbles just got bigger.
Tiny bubbles.
That's what I was thinking.
In the one, make me happy, make me feel fine.
Yeah, except different music.
Did Don Ho actually sing, or did he just kind of mumble through shit?
Kind of, towards the end, he was just kind of like, I think he did it for decades or something. Sounds like a good gig to me. That's all I'm saying.
Michael, you remember Don Ho?
Don Ho. Who was Don Ho?
He is.
He was a performer.
Tia will tell you who he was. Okay. I'll tell you who he was to me.
Okay.
I grew up in North Hollywood. People, like, even seeing the episode of the Brady Bunch where they went to Hawaii was confusing. I'm like, how did they get there? Where'd you get that? How'd you get a ticket for an airplane? Like, we had no credit cards. We had no money. We had no nothing. So just the notion of, like, your whole family just going to Hawaii.
Paradise.
I had this obsession with seeing my feet in the water, because the only beach I'd ever been to was Santa Monica. And it was always so dirty and murky and shitty. And I loved being in the ocean. But it's like, literally, you go to Santa Monica, you put your hand 4 inches below the surface of the water, you can't see your hand. Mm-hmm. When I would see footage of this beautiful, clear water and people snorkeling and stuff, my mind would be blown. And Santa Monica was cold. I was like, oh, the water's so warm. It's like a bath. And I was like, oh, Hawaii, this is amazing. And Don Ho's show used to come out here. I mean, they would show it. Here, on TV.
Like Merv Griffin, Don Ho, that kind of vibe.
And he was this talk show host from Hawaii who, like Merv Griffin, couldn't sing, or like Mike,
he was doing like a Dean Martin kind of thing, just kind of singing and drunk and kind of singing like that.
Right. And so the way talk show hosts work, Mike Douglas couldn't sing. Merv Griffin couldn't sing. Dinah Shore wasn't very good either, but you had to sing. It'd be like if Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon sung a song at the beginning of every one of their Stephen Colbert. He's going to get out there.
Yeah, Greg
Gutfeld starts off with a song. Okay. And it's like, yeah, but Greg Gutfeld can't sing. And it's like, yeah, but you're hosting a show. You have to sing at the beginning.
It was the thing back then.
It was a thing to sing.
Tiny bubbles in the wine makes me happy, makes me feel fine.
There's only one way I knew the song.
Tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles
in the wine
make me happy,
make me happy.
make me feel fine.
Don't you feel fine now? Don't you feel like you're on the island?
I mean, let's be honest.
You're on the beach. It's warm.
His voice is not that bad.
No, and neither was Mike Douglas, but it wasn't good either.
No, it wasn't.
Like,
it's
nobody needed them to sing. They just, it's you doing a show. You have to sing. And then he would come out and sing, and I think he would do
it. I don't know. I think I should be doing the show now. Take pot shots at me, but I want to live in Hawaii for 30 years and do a show like that and a TV show. That sounds awesome.
Well, Tia,
to me.
Be careful
let's
what you ask
it.
For. All right.
Let's do it.
All right. Well,
let's
then,
manifest
okay,
it.
Let's do it. Start with a song.
That's right.
Start. We're going to do it now. Start with a song.
Well,
your first guest is Michael Yo.
Oh, yes.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Michael,
well,
welcome to the
you
show.
You got to start with
the
song.
No, where's the singing?
We're here.
No,
okay.
You got to start with
it. Aloha, oi. Aloha, oi. E ke ona ona noho. I kalipo. One fond embrace. Ahoia, eia. Until we meet again. See, I'd close my show with that.
That's right.
Drop the mic.
That was awesome.
That's the sexiest opening show.
That is hot.
Yeah, that's hot. That's hot.
So first guess.
I can see it. Manifest. Like, you know, bathing suits, sarongs, that song.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different show.
It's
a different ho.
Now, what people don't know about Don
It's not
ho,
a ho show. It's not a ho show, though.
How do you not know that...
I know
mean,
everything.
You're a yo.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't
But shouldn't
know.
You know the hoes? I mean.
You should know. Daniel Ho, Don Ho, a lot of hoes in Hawaii.
A lot of hoes in Hawaii. Okay.
I'm just saying. He's a yo. He's not a ho. That's
I'm not
why.
A yo.
That's his problem.
I'm a yo.
So, Don
he's shouting
Ho.
Out, he's shouting out to the hoes.
Don
so
Ho
yo.
made a comeback. Remember, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but Don Ho made a comeback when I was on K-Rock Radio and we're doing
KRQ.
Like KRQ, what's the alternative hip edgy mm-hmm. Nirvana station. Mm. In the later 90s, Don Ho came back as like kind of like Pat Boone came back, like this old crooner doing cool stuff or something. And I think he was even at the Weenie Rose, the big Irvine Meadows show that K-Rock put
that.
On. And he came on to Loveline, I'm pretty sure, back in the day.
I was on Loveline.
Too. Wow. And evidently Don Ho smoked a lot of weed. That's makes sense.
Mm.
A lot of Hawaiians smoke a lot of weed.
Well, I mean, it comes from the earth, and it's, you know, green and lush, and it's easy to hide from the federal helicopters overhead.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of volcanic soil grows lots of good stuff, I'm assuming. I've heard. I mean, I would think.
Alleged.
So where are you guys? We're talking about weight, and everyone's just getting fat, and we're talking about Wally and all that stuff. And Ari Spears, the comedian from... Well, let's see.
Oh, he was huge. Def Comedy Jam. I mean, he was on Mad TV.
Mad TV is probably where most people know Aries from.
I don't know. I can't. Unless I see a picture.
I think
you'd
he's
know him
mostly.
If you saw him.
He's mostly known for this rap montage he does of all the rap. That's how he got huge.
Don Ho, by the way, performed Tiny Bubbles at the K-Rock Weenie Rose in 1997.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I told you he made a comeback.
We can listen to it if you want. But
that's
it was
random. I think we've heard enough, though.
Yeah, it was a real big fish. They closed out their set with Don Ho playing Tiny Bubbles.
That's the craziest mashup I've ever heard.
Is that recorded somewhere?
Yeah, there's audio.
I don't know. Listen to 20 seconds of it if you got it.
Well, that's hilarious, though. You have, like, amazing research here.
They sped it up a little, right?
Thank you very much. Everybody
okay, there's our 20 seconds.
Repeat after me, please. Tiny bubbles. In the wine. Make me happy.
This is hilarious.
Make me feel fine.
All right. These poor people showed up to see Limp Bizkit. I got this elderly Hawaiian guy up there, Tiny Bubble.
But But that was like the precursor of all the mashups they have at the Grammys today.
Now
you like have like random acts mashed together, you know, for a positive or negative experience.
I think. So Aries got over the weekend, got in a lot of trouble. So said Chris. I didn't see it, but he got in a lot of trouble because he was making fun of Lizzo. He was calling her fat.
You can't do that.
And I don't know if he's apologized. I don't know what happened. But here he is talking about Lizzo.
Yo, you know somebody that actually made good music, man? Lizzo.
Lizzo?
Yeah, bro. Have you heard her shit, yo? Like, as a songwriter, yo.
I can't get past the fact that she looks like the shit emoji. She's got a very pretty face.
Hold on one second.
But she keeps showing her body.
One second. Michael, yo, every time there's someone going, she looks like she a yo. Hey, yo, have you heard yo? You just fucking turn around like every 10 seconds? Yo.
Especially with Aaron. He always says that.
All right. She looked like the shit emoji. Well, that was tough.
Like the shit emoji.
All right. But he is a comedian.
Was he referring to the dress? Maybe he was referring to the shape of the dress.
No, I don't think so.
Look at me, Sister Mary Sunshine. Always half full, not half empty.
No, but I think he was talking about her. Yeah.
Oi.
She looks like the shit emoji. She's got a very pretty face, but she keeps showing her body off, nigga. Like, come on, man. Come on, yo.
Come on, yo. What do you think, yo?
I'm sorry, listen, I ain't the most in shape nigga in the world, but I still, you know, when you funny and you got swagger and confidence and you decent looking, I think I'm at least handsome, you get pussy. But a woman that's built like a plate of mashed potatoes is in trouble. You know what kills me about women?
See, that's a double standard that pisses me off.
And the contradiction. Yes, queen. Slay, queen. Yes, queen. Slay. Yeah, girl, your confidence. Fuck diabetes. Fuck heart problems. Fuck heart disease, cholesterol. Y'all claim womanhood and about sisterhood and support for your sister, you know, when it come to that ridiculous shit. But if you really gave a fuck, why wouldn't you go, black girl, we love you. We love your confidence, boo-boo. But this ain't it. This ain't it. That's the real love. Y'all will jump on me for making jokes. But y'all won't fucking be real and go, sister, put the eclair down. This ain't it. It's treadmill time.
All right. Well, there was the controversy. Now, I'm always like, I'm caught in between because I'm always like, comedians should be able to say whatever the fuck they want to say. But then at some point, it starts bleeding into, like, a lot of people, there's a lot of comedians. Like, here's my problem. When I say things that offend people, people go, oh, he's a comedian. He's allowed to tell jokes. I mean every joke I say.
Yeah.
I mean every single one of them. They all come from some place that is true to me. That is how I feel. So you should be able to hold me responsible for my jokes.
Yeah.
Because they ain't knock-knock jokes.
It has to come from your perspective. That's all comedy.
I mean every single one of my jokes. So he makes a good point. Even though he's brutal about it, which is we're in some weird place where we're celebrating fat people, yet fat people, I mean, the least, put it to you this way. You're better off being a smoker than you are being fat when it comes to your health. We attack and shame smokers to the point where either you got to quit or if you want to smoke outside the club, you literally... I've seen celebrities and people in general like kneeling behind dumpsters smoking, like hiding, literally hiding to smoke. We did that with smokers and it worked. Like we got smoking down 40%. You go look at old movies or old pictures or old people at a party. Everyone had a cigarette in their hand. Kids don't smoke anymore. Like we shamed the shit out of them and we took this unhealthy practice and we shamed them so much that we cut it down 70%. But then when it comes to being unhealthy and being big, we have to celebrate it? Thoughts?
I think we are going... Okay, so there's a double standard for men and women. I could go on for hours, but I won't. You have James Gandolfini, rest in peace, very large, very rotund, and he had this tiny model thin wife. You know what I mean? It's been the double standard in film and television forever. So now maybe perhaps we've swung way far in the other direction. Celebrate as big as you want to be. You're still sexy. So you're still everything. And then I think, and I predict that it will come back to the middle where, ladies, it's probably not healthy for you to be at this body weight. Your heart, your diabetes, your all that, you know, but we had to go to accept yourself how you are. And it's okay that you are not fitting this narrow view that you've seen in the media till now. So yeah. It gives a little forgiveness because women have been so hard on themselves, doing unhealthy things, taking pills, starving themselves, throwing up all this stuff to fit this narrow view of beauty. So we're taking it to a Lizzo level, and she can be sexy. She can win Grammys. She can be, you know, lauded the world over. And so we bring it back. Well, maybe at a certain point, Lizzo says, you know, I'm not feeling very well. I'm not feeling healthy. I'm going to, you know, go and trim down. But that's, you know, for her to choose in her own time. I think it's hard.
Well, I think, and I'm, of course, not a woman, but I feel like when you're in a position of Lizzo and you're winning awards, you have to say, it is your job to say, I am confident in my skin, even if you're not. Because you're, mm-hmm. that's what people expect you to do. But what we normally see, like an Adele, like a
Taylor Swift. I mean, model thin, impossibly thin almost, you know, to most women.
But what we see is these plus size ladies, they'll be like, oh, this, they'll finally, it'll hit them. This isn't healthy. And then all of a sudden, even though they said they were proud of this.
Yeah, look at Adele.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Adele, they'll lose the weight because they know it's not healthy. Mm-hmm. But I guess.
A lot of people shamed Adele for losing the weight. Which is insane.
You for doing it too. Because their thought is, I thought you told me you weren't ashamed of it at this weight, right. And I could live like that. So it's this mixed messaging where Lizzo, I'm not a doctor. I'm not her doctor, but it seems unhealthy. You know, right now, it seems unhealthy.
Well, with COVID especially. I mean,
And when, like Aries, I've seen this clip everywhere. The problem, what I like about what you did, you showed both clips. You showed the one where you talked about her not being healthy, where on the news or other platform, it just shows the first part.
Yeah.
It doesn't show why he said it.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's a controversy. Because if everybody showed that second part, people would be like, okay, it's rude, it's mean, but he's making sense. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the new culture we're in where they just.
Yeah, sound bites.
Yeah.
Sound bites and no context.
Inciting people.
That's what it's about. They just want to fire people up.
Mm-hmm.
We have his has a 50-second response that he created, which
because it caused such a stir that he decided to make another video responding to the criticism.
Wow.
He's nude in bed.
He always does this. He's always topless and he's always showing off his body.
Michael, I feel you're uniquely qualified to handle this culturally. At least half of you is.
Yes,
the guys. Mainly men of color who wear a baseball cap, but
to the side.
Pull just 14 degrees to one side. It makes me want to walk in a circle. Like when I see him, it feels weird.
Unsettling.
Remember when Criss Cross wore their pants backwards? I felt the same way. It's like I felt myself walking in pants that were backwards. I wear a ball cap. I'm wearing one now. If I pull it to the side, it feels weird.
You feel off.
I feel off. What is it?
It's just a hip hop thing. He's a hardcore New Yorker. It's a New York hip hop thing. It's how he was raised.
It hurts my head.
It's a style.
But does it bother everyone as much as it bothers me?
No,
Dawson, you're a frequent hat wearer. Does it bother you?
A little bit. Because it just defeats the purpose of the hat.
It feels weird, right?
Yeah.
No, but he's wearing it for style, like not to block the sun.
Now, I understand if you're walking towards the sun at a certain angle.
I've done that
when I'm driving my truck, and the sun's coming down on that side of the truck.
It's like his visor.
Other than that, it makes no sense.
As a frequent ball cap wearer, it bothers me. I feel the same way as a car guy. When I see a really cool Lamborghini or Ferrari with a weird color wrap on it, I'm like, as a car guy, I'm offended. As a hat guy, I'm offended.
You shouldn't be.
I'll let it go.
Let it go.
All right, here we go.
Yo, what up? It's your boy, Aries Spears. I had to put the Yankee on for this one. Listen, I know I'm trending right now because of the Lizzo joke. And I just want to say, man, a lot of you women are funny, you know, with the critiques. I ain't funny. I'm fat, unattractive. No woman wants me. They always try to hurt you with what works for you the most. That's what they try to hurt. That's like you break up and you go, that's why you got a little wee-wee and you can't screw. But you've been with him for years. I'm 32 years in this game and I ain't funny. I'm 32 years in this game and I ain't never got no meow. That's hilarious. Y'all don't deal in logic and sense. You deal in emotion and anger. Come with something that's not subjective. Me being unfunny, unattractive, that's not a fact. That's subjective. Stop leading with emotion and anger and come with facts. You heard me? Do you have me for the link?
I just came with some facts. I dropped my facts.
You did drop your facts.
Listen to this, Ari Spears. Understand.
I think he, first off, I love it when guys go, when guys are not in anywhere close to being in shape, and then they announce, I may not be the best shape white guy on the planet. It's like you're not in the top 7 billion. Like when they do this move, like I may not be all right. But first off, good for him. He didn't apologize.
No.
My new rule is I don't care if you called my mom and grandmother a whore. And then somebody demand, and I demanded you apologize, and you went, I will not. I think they're both still whores. I would go, I like you more now.
Yeah.
I stand now behind your statement.
So many people apologize for so much so often now that I'm actually siding with people, not over what they said, but over not apologizing. So that's good. Number two, I think he thinks he's better looking than he is. I'm not gay, but I'm still allowed to judge a man's aesthetic. Like, Michael Yeo's a tall drink of water over here.
Well, thank you.
And I think we can agree that T is as well.
Absolutely.
On the other side of the aisle. I never thought of Ari Spears as anything close to attractive, but I do like that he's standing up for himself.
And also, he's correct. I mean, he's known in the comedy game. People go to comedy clubs. I know a bunch of comics that do comedy just to hook up with women. So there's something about a man on stage, just like there's something right about a woman on stage. You know, the other opposite sex or same, whatever it is, they are attracted to that. So Ari is correct. Just like I'm sure there's tons of guys that like Lizzo, that would hook up with Lizzo, you know, if she wanted. So bragging about that, you know, I know him very well, but it's kind of like if you're in the entertainment business, that's kind of easy to get.
What?
The ladies.
Sex. Oh,
ladies.
Sex.
Yeah. So he's bragging about like, oh, I get that. Well, of course, you're in entertainment. It's anybody, any look can get that in entertainment.
Shine a light on somebody and people are attracted
exactly
to the light.
Exactly. They go for the light.
I have a thought about dudes in entertainment getting laid that Tia might be able to shine some more light on.
Tell us, Adam.
I have found, or I think, this is my concept. I think a lot of people go, oh, they want to be with that guy because he's rich, because he's on TV or he's famous, or they want to be with the famous guy. So he's able to pick up the girl at the club or at the concert or wherever they may be at. I feel like most women do not want to leave the club with a stranger because they just don't know what's up and who this person is. Like they, you're physically walking out at night, maybe with a couple drinks in you and getting to an Uber with a dude. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what this dude's capable of. Even mm-hmm. if he's a nice looking guy, even if he brushed his teeth or bought you a few drinks at the club, we don't know who he is. When you know somebody from TV,
or you think you know somebody,
or you think you know someone from TV, but you grew up watching a TV show, that guy was on it, or this guy's a stand-up comedian, you know him well, you know who he is. Like, you know,
he seems safer by your perception from TV.
Well, it's kind of like there's a history, like in your neighborhood, there's a neighborhood dog that you see when you walk your dog and you know that dog's a nice dog and you'll walk up there. But if you see a dog you don't know, there's an element of that dog may bite. I don't know.
I will say this. If a woman hooks up with a famous person, they've told their friends. So if they come up missing, they can be like, oh, such and such was that.
Oh. Yeah.
With a stranger, you're just like, I don't know who he was.
And the concept of coming up
missing. So you feel safer, maybe.
It's hard. I mean, it'd be difficult. You'd have a difficult time as a celebrity if that's what you were into.
Absolutely. Because you get ratted out. You get put out. But I will disagree. Now, I believe at the how the world is now with social media and stuff, women are more careful. But when I was growing up, they didn't. I mean, like, our parents would let us go out and forget about us for 12 hours. You know, like, go play. And then you come back. So clubs back then, I mean, that's when
you
met a person, that was it. That was
it. You hook up.
There was no thinking about. Yeah, it was kind of, it's kind of scary to think how we grew up, where you would just hook up with random people or have a few drinks, go out with a random person later on that night.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I see, Hollywood warps it. Hollywood warps it. Like, you know, people think, and I know girls that are predators in town as much as any, you know, as much as any guy, they want to hook up with a guy and they're like, okay, I'm going to go and have a baby with him because I'm going to get paid for the next 18 years. Mm-hmm. It's insane and disgusting to me, but I know that there's that element out there in Hollywood. So, you know, there are predators on both sides of the line.
Oh, 100%. But I just feel like today it's just women are a lot more careful. And you can be, because before, when you meet a guy, he tells you his name, you can look him up right there and see what he's all about. You can see his world. Before, you couldn't do that. So literally, you were rolling the dice every time you left the house.
Well, what's it, Tia, your entire life, a beautiful specimen.
Yes.
An exotic, beautiful specimen of a
woman. I hear
that
from the outside, but that's not what I see myself
Good.
As on the inside.
I like that. No self-esteem.
Humble.
Easier to get home.
Grateful, hardworking, it's good. Everything I built on my own.
But let's remove you, the inner Tia, from this equation.
The chubby Filipino from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yes, that one. The society that we have formed has decided that you're aesthetically pleasing. That's how it works. Now, I don't know if we're right or we're wrong, but that's the society that we've created. So thus, your entire, we'll call it adult life, but, you know, ever since you were 15 or 16, you go into a room, men desire you. Maybe your self-esteem is low, but it's hard to argue with society. And those guys don't care about the inner Tia.
I do understand,
They care. They are collectively society. Mm. So that is a power. It's a power. I have said this many times, many, many times. Being a celebrity dude, even a big time celebrity dude, does not give you as much power as being a beautiful young woman. And I've gone out to dinner, and I put this to the test. I've gone out to dinner with like celebrity guys, and we're all sitting around, and all of a sudden, some 23-year-old hottie cocktail waitress comes by and wants to know if everyone wants drinks, and all of a sudden, the guys are kissing her ass.
Yeah.
She is actually a bigger celebrity in this scenario during this time than the celebrities that are sitting around the table. At this point.
So if only she knew that.
Superpower. Now, were you conscious of this at points in your life?
Oh, certainly not. No, definitely not. I've made some questionable choices. And you know, you can research them, but it's sort of like that's why I have a teenage daughter and I try to, you know, infuse in her that know yourself and you're great and you're amazing and you can choose what you want. Don't be so grateful for somebody to love you. All that low self-esteem, negative internal dialogue, you know, that I grew up with for all my own reasons. It's important that girls know their power and worth so that they don't get themselves into dangerous situations because they're so grateful for being loved and chosen and all that stuff. I always get into these deep conversations of psychology here. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm on too long and I start opening up. But I think that all of us get into show business because there's some foundational crack in our upbringing or something. Why else would you put yourself up for judgment in front of the whole world and say, take pot shots at me or I will not be invisible, you know, for better or for worse. You know, there's something wrong with us show business folk, I think, generally speaking, and many people that I've spoken with over the decades. There seems to be something in our, you know, adolescent years or something that makes us go into this world where we want to be in front of the world stage and seen and to be open to, you know, the accolades as well as people tearing us down. So you it makes said it hard.
You grew up with low self-esteem?
No, certainly not. No.
You didn't grow up that way.
No. It's subsequently, I had to sort of unpack that and figure out why. But you know, my family moved away when I was 14. And I lived with my grandmother. So it was kind of this period of being kind of invisible and in this really sad, depressed, dark space.
Where did they move away from?
They moved to another country. They moved to Samoa. So it was for a job, for my dad's job. But, you know, when they came back, the family was blown apart. My dad
took
off with
his
secretary.
Did you make those Girl Scout cookies?
What's that, Girl Scout?
The Samoans?
Oh, no.
All right, stupid. Ba-dum-bum. All right. What did your dad do? Who moves to Samoa for a gig?
Well, he worked for a bank in Hawaii.
Still
and
asking.
To Samoa. I know,
wow.
But it was, I don't know. It was better. It was anyway. It's a
moved,
weird convoluted
your,
story.
Your whole family
Nobody
moved
cares
away.
About this.
We do.
Your people
we
don't
do.
Care.
Your whole family moved away when you're 14.
Yeah, my whole family moved away.
I will say this: beautiful women sometimes make it a skewed version of society. I had a Victoria's Secret model, beautiful blonde, used to live down the street from me many million years ago.
You had her? Meaning?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
There's a little something there.
Mazel tov.
But she told me once, she said, the guy comes and cuts the trees in my house. He's so nice. He baked me a pie. I said, yeah. It's because you're Victoria's Secret. He goes, No, he's just a nice guy.
No.
I said, no, he doesn't bake pies for his clientele. He cuts trees. And she's like, no, I think he's just a cool dude. And I was like, you go through life seeing, she told me once, I told her, oh God, I missed a flight at LAX, long story, blah, blah, blah. I said, I was standing there in the airport. I was looking at the pilot. I said, I was looking at me and Dr. Drew through the window. I could see the guy. I was like, come on, I got a ticket. Like, literally, he's like, sorry, bub, gate's closed. And she goes, oh, that happened to me once. I looked at the pilot. The guy got up and walked around. I said, yes, that's your life.
Yes.
That's your life.
I was invited to sit in the cockpit with the pilot.
I sat on his lap when we took off. It was awesome. He let me drink.
You're right. It's a rarefied world for the young and beautiful women.
But she thought that's how the world was. Mm.
Because she's used to people throwing stuff at her.
Privilege of beauty.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, for instance, my wife goes to this gym, and she came back from the gym one day, and she goes, oh, I met this really nice man, and his wife lives in our neighborhood. I go, how long did you talk before he said he had a wife? And she go, oh, he didn't, but one of my other friends told me. And I go, and she goes, you were so, no, I go, I guarantee you this man is shady. Because when I open up a conversation, whoever the lady is, the first thing I say, oh, you know, I'm married, I got a wife, no matter, because I don't want anybody thinking anything. This dude had a full conversation, like a 20-minute conversation at a gym following my wife around, mm-hmm. and was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then she found out from another person he had a wife. Mm-hmm. And I go, but she, in her mind, she's like, oh, he's so nice. You know, and I'm like, no, this dude. And then I looked him up, and I don't want to give him away, but he's had
you already
a very,
gave him away.
But he had a shady past.
Ah.
Like, he is documented on the web. Like, he's a serial cheater on his wife.
On the web.
On the web.
And
documented.
She's still married to him, though. So
I'm not saying, I've already said enough.
So but. Then, Tia,
there's
then
a
the,
choice.
Then the
there's,
question is,
she chooses
so
to stay.
People would say to me, certainly in the past, you know, some girl come up, be nice, be flirty or something, then she'd leave, and then whoever I was with go, she's only coming up to you because you're on MTV. She's only coming up to you because she recognized you from TV. And I'd go, yeah, that's why I got on TV, dick. Of course, when I was swinging a hammer, nobody came up to me. I understand why they're being nice to me. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
being nice to me. And
it's part of your allure so is what you do, what you've built.
Tia, is it a thing, you know, back in the day when guys were coming up all the time and then people go, they're only coming up to you because you're such a beautiful woman or whatever. Did you know? Did you care? Was it all factored in?
Oh gosh, now they're only coming up to me because I'm famous. Who cares? They're coming up to you, right? Use right. whatever you got, I say.
There you go.
What's your status, Tia? You single?
Oh, it's
uh-oh.
You opened up something.
Hey, Michael met this dude online.
What?
There's a guy at the gym following women around.
Maybe you guys could talk. Or just,
no, just have lunch.
It's just lunch.
It's sad.
It's sad. Single, sad. Sad and single.
It's sad.
Okay, but we can turn the page. We can move on. We can find love.
Well, God, why do you ask these questions?
Oh, God.
Wow, you hit a chord, Adam.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
I was trying to be glib, and I was like, that's weird.
All right, let's see if we can change gears here. Hey, how about, you see this recumbent dude on his bicycle? Tia, it's crazy, right? Recumbent bike at an airport.
I saw that guy. Who does he think he is?
Oh,
I know, people coming on with peacocks and iguanas and now recumbent bikes.
All right, Chris. Well,
it's inconsiderate. That's what that is.
I told Chris to grab a news story or two. I'll buy us a little time here.
Dear.
I'll tell you about concrete. That's what I want to talk about. Your body makes about half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet. Most American diets are low in creatine-rich foods. Concrete, this stuff is good. We have it. I use it every day. Put a little bit. Shake it up. Actually, put a scoop that comes with a small scooper for every 100 pounds. So if you're 200 pounds, two scoops. Shake it up. Great for your immune system. Concrete, patented creatine. HCL is the favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. The number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds. Like I said, creatine is required for functional energy and every cell. Your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. Your immune cells need it to protect you. It is concrete, right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card available now online and in store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing.
All right. Tia's gathered herself.
Damn it.
She got the vapors.
Damn it, Jim.
She's a doctor, not a magician.
She got a fan for herself.
I folded your notes on me into a fan.
Yeah, that's an Islander move right there. I'm from North Hollywood. I couldn't make shit out of a piece of paper.
You never made a fan out of this?
I can't do origami.
And you do that little thing, you open it, choose a number, a color.
I can't do the weird Confucius says thing, future teller thing. I couldn't even mold it into that weird little triangle to play football with back in junior high. We'd flick your finger through it. I can't make a paper airplane.
I'll show you how.
Mm. All right, Chris, do you have pull a couple of news stories for us?
Yeah, so this first one, Elon Musk. So you remember those pictures of him on the yacht outside of Mykonos, and he was shirtless, and he was getting hosed down, and everyone's making fun of the way he looked? Well, it got to him. So he's actually been intermittent fasting, and he's now lost over 20 pounds, and he feels a lot healthier. But, yeah, so everyone was shaming him online, and it got to him.
Well, let me say this. There's certain things in life that we've decided are bad, like
this
shame.
Picture.
Shame. Mm-hmm, yeah. But what I'm saying is shame is sort of like bacteria. Somebody went, what causes this ailment and that ailment? And then they went, bacteria. And then someone went, all right, good. Invent something called Purell. Everyone slather themselves in it, wipe everything down with Lysol, and we'll get rid of this thing. And then people started getting more hay fever and more allergies and more stomach problems and stuff like that because
it's too clean.
The plan isn't get rid of bacteria. Yeah. The plan is live with it and work with it and ingest some of it, not all of it at once, and create
it stronger.
Yes, and create a sort of homeostasis with it. Mm-hmm. I feel the fucking same way about shame. Shame.
A little bit keeps you fit.
Yes, like little bits of shame done in the right, you know, broken off.
Microdosing shame.
Yes, microdosing shame.
Yes, that's what it is.
Like when you get a vaccine, what do you get? You get a little bit of what it is that's trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And then your body learns to fight it off. Shame, same way. See, we said you can't shame people. No shame. No shame. Now we got people at the airport wearing fucking pajamas. I mean, I'm watching people walk around in fucking slippers and sweatpants with no pockets in them, just wandering around the fucking LAX. That
a I think that's bit, COVID. They got used to being at home
true,
and not wearing pants.
But a little bit of shame. So what? And by
starts
the way,
here. It starts here.
Microdosing shame.
Microdosing shame. What successful people do with shame is they use it. What unsuccessful people do is they go, you're not the boss of me. Fuck you. Fat is beautiful. I'm beautiful. You know what I mean? No, no. He saw a picture of himself. The world saw a picture of himself. The world started to shame him. And because he's a fixer of problems, he didn't go, fuck everybody. I'm crawling up inside a tub of Haagen-Dazs. He went, I better work on this.
Yep.
Now, the people that shamed him can still be bad. But he can use it. He microdosed his shame.
He's not folding up. And this is interesting because my son is 5. He's going to school. And a little bit of me wants him to get bullied a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when's the first time you want him to get bullied? When he has his first job and his boss snaps at him and he starts crying at work because nobody's ever confronted him like that? Like, my thing is, I want, like you said, microdosing is the new thing of shame. I want him to feel uncomfortable in situations so he knows how to push through that.
You have to learn resilience.
Yes, you do.
And that's a hard thing. You cannot teach that to someone. They have to overcome something and discover their growth mindset.
Absolutely.
So he's a growth mindset. I'm like, I'm going to take some sort of thing that's thrown at me that's negative, and I'm going to spin it, and I'm going to show you.
But also a lot of people – the problem is a lot of people can't handle that either. They can't handle even a microdosing of shame. And that's
snowflakes.
Exactly.
You can
call them what you want, but
wow.
Tia's going for it.
She's all fucking tough love now. 10 minutes ago, I asked if she had a boyfriend, she broke down to a heap.
No,
she's like, snowflakes, everybody.
No. Look, I came back, bitches. I'm resilient, so fuck all y'alls.
She took your microdosing of shame, Adam,
and I'll throw
back.
It, and I will feed it to you. I will force feed you on your own.
This is the other side.
All right, here we go.
I didn't come off a rock in Hawaii like being a snowflake.
I like the broken side better, Michelle. Bring her back. All right. What else we got, Maxipata?
Actress Sydney Sweeney. She's in that show Euphoria. So she threw a surprise hoedown-themed party for her mom's 60th birthday. And she posted pictures of it on her Instagram.
Hoedown.
Yeah, it was like a hoedown.
Doesn't even sound good.
Yeah,
the word of the day.
Done hoedown.
And she posted pictures, and people got the magnifying glass out, and were looking at people and the others in the background, and someone was wearing like a Blue Lives Matter shirt, and they had parody MAGA hats, but it said "Make 60 Great Again," and some people were wearing those, and her entire fan base is turned on her because she has a Republican background or Republican parents.
Oh, her parents are Republican.
Yeah, her mom or people at the party, and like so everybody was really getting on her on Twitter. And so she put a response up. She said, "You guys, this is wild. An innocent celebration for my mom's milestone 60th has turned into an absurd political statement, which was not the intention. Please stop making assumptions. Much love to everyone and happy birthday, Mom."
And fuck off.
Yeah. I my life is filled with – like I have Republicans in my family. I have Democrats in my family. And you should – how everything's being – made political today, it's just ridiculous. People are just latching on and trying to make a story out of no story. And this is the problem we're having with politics right now. Everything you do, normal people do, is they make it political somehow.
And it's polarizing.
Polarizing. And that she shouldn't get shit because her family are Republican. So what? If they are and she's not, or even if she is, who cares? They're not voting for you. You're voting for yourself. Who cares what people are, man? It's gotten to the point where it's just I hope everybody, and I get so angry. I hope everybody just sees through this one day and goes, look, I'm going to vote for who I vote for. Whoever you vote for, you can vote for. I don't care. Let's move along and let's be together. It's just so ridiculous right now.
Well, here's the problem, and this is why it's going to be tough to get past this chapter, which is if you say the Democrats, they want rich guys to pay more taxes, and the Republicans go, we want to lower the corporate tax rate. So that's just taxes, right? Mm. And then there's a, you know, Democrats want public schools and Republicans want school choice, or that's just, that's education. It's all that. When you start veering into you're racist if you're on one side, or you're misogynist, or you hate the trans people, or you hate gays, or whatever, you start getting into that, then that requires actions. Because now you got to do something. You know what I mean? Like when you're literally saying this guy's Hitlerian, well, then that says you got to, there's a call to action. Now you it's one thing to disagree on a subject, but if somebody says, like, if you go, my neighbor, he likes the Ravens and I like the Steelers, then everyone goes, well, shut the fuck up then and go watch your Raiders game, and he'll go watch his Raiders. But if you say, my neighbor's a pedophile, or my neighbor's a wild racist, or he's misogynist, you know, he beats his wife, then all of a sudden you go, well now you got to do something. Yeah. Like, you can't just sit there and let him be this thing. So the one side is constantly calling the other side racist and homophobic and xenophobic and whatever. And they do, you do need to be shut down if that's in fact who you are. You know what I mean? But that's the problem.
It's gotten convoluted. It's not just platforms and politics like bullet points of this is what I stand for. It's become character attacks and also made up stuff, basically.
It's just ridiculous.
Sent out on an algorithm, sends us further and further apart.
Well, but see, that's where I disagree about the algorithm. It's, if you're looking for stuff like that, you're going to get fed stuff like that.
And your algorithm makes you go further and further. Absolutely. So you're seeing different news from the other guy on the other side of the aisle.
But that's what you're looking for. So whatever you're looking for, you're going to get fed. And that's just common sense. If you're a business, you want to advertise to people that are looking for a canoe or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a hate speech, or if you're leaning one side, that's all you're going to get fed. That's just smart business. But the point is, you're looking for that.
You started looking for that, and it takes you further and further and further.
And as you keep looking for it, you're going to get fed more and more of it.
Well, also, there needs to be a kind of an intellectual honesty that people need to, at some point, use themselves, like a kind of a horse sense, sort of like my grandfather knew blah, blah, blah. Dave Rubin, who's gay, and he's very Republican now, but he used to be very left-leaning. But he's a very good guy, author and everything. And I've said to him, why did you go from Young Turks and hard left to becoming Republican? And he said, I couldn't square the notion of everyone who disagreed with us on the left was a racist. Like, just every time a subject came up, it didn't have to be about race. It could be about anything, that they were then labeled a racist. He said that it didn't mathematically make sense that could be done. And listen, people, have all the disagreements you want, but use your intellect a little bit. Is it possible that every human being that disagrees with you is somehow racist?
Yeah, but they have stereotypes going both ways. It's like every liberal is soft. Like, I'm not soft. You know, I tend to go in the middle. I'm independent. You know what I mean? But
you can't be, unfortunately. You have to choose to get a ballot. It's crazy.
I am. I vote for the best candidate. I don't care what party they are.
Well, liberal is good. Liberal, see, the problem is the left and the liberals got sort of convoluted. Mm-hmm. Like Bill Maher's liberal.
Yes.
But he's not left. Left is crazy. No one has a gender. Everything needs to be paid for someone who has a job. Liberal is, hey, if you want to marry a guy, marry a guy. If you want to smoke pot, smoke pot. And hey, government, dial it down a little. Yeah. Stop taking all my money.
Yeah.
Would you say the left right now is kind of like the Tea Party of the Republicans like 8-9 years ago?
I guess. Yeah. I guess so. I don't know where the hard left just wants to keep piling forward and sort of saying things and doing things for the sake of change. I don't feel like there's a finish line with them. I feel like they're just piling forward at some sort of speed that is unrealistic, and most Americans don't think how they think. And I think the Democrats would do themselves a favor by getting away, bringing it back toward the middle a little bit. Like most people want lower taxes and a good, a stout border and just shit like that. They're just going too hard, too fast.
Yeah, and I just feel like as far as me and my family having a mixed family with, you know, Republicans and Democrats in it, I just feel when it, at the end of the day, everybody just wants to take care of their family.
Mm-hmm.
And all this other, like my dad told me the most brilliant thing ever when I was young. He goes, life is easy, people make it hard. You know, and it's really, you live and do your thing, but once you get involved in everybody else's shit, that's where it goes like crazy.
Yeah, I'm a fiscally minded, you know, Democrat and a socially minded Republican. If you were, you know, but there's no place, like we need that candidate that can pull it all together and say, you know what, I really don't care about this. Let's get that off of our platform.
Yeah, nobody can
and
just
go down say, here where we can all agree.
Yeah, nobody can say, I like these ideas from the Republicans and I like these from the Democrats. Let's get it together. Because then you're a party hater. Like no party will support you.
No place. The middle.
You can't get funded.
No one wants to be anywhere near the middle anymore.
It's too hard.
The middle is
sad. You can't get money. You can't get funding. You can't get, you know.
That's the whole thing.
And you just get pummeled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always said either be on the beach laying on the sand or be out beyond the breakers. Hanging out in the middle, you're just getting pummeled.
Yeah.
Just getting pummeled. All right, we got one more, Max Pata.
Sure thing. So Holly Madison and Bridget Marquardt, who are ex-Playboy bunnies, they are now going out saying that Hugh Hefner, their once beloved Hugh Hefner, he is actually not as nice as they made him out to be, and he would actually manipulate girls to have sex with him. He would fake cry and put on the waterworks.
That's always on the table. Fake cry.
Yeah.
Fake cry.
He would fake cry until they would have sex with him. They said his bed was like a hoarder's bed with sex toys.
I mean, but just think about what this man. I mean, what he built and got away with in that house. It's crazy.
If you move out here from, you know, Muncie, Indiana, because you look good in your underpants and you move in with Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. And now you're going to take a pot shot at him after he's passed away.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, girls. I don't understand.
Yeah. And by the way, fake cry is not get you in a headlock and teabag you.
Yeah.
It is fucking fake crying. It's pouting.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked the story where he would have threatened to kick you out of the house, which is probably more like accurate. Then
wait, he fake cried. What else did he do?
He fake cried. They said they gaslit them, or he gaslit them using his tears because he had all the power in the relationship.
Yeah, of course.
They got abused by him.
Of course, and that's what he
fake
did.
Crying.
They said they were forced into orgies.
Yeah,
forced into orgies.
How does an elderly man force you into an orgy with fake tears or?
Well, I think that's the whole thing. It's just like he had all that power. I think those girls live rent free. If you're like you said,
they
this girl
lived
from
an amazing life in an amazing mansion, and you know, my girlfriend lived next door in the adjacent amazing mansion, and I'm just saying they made choices. They came here. They had stars in their eyes. It made them all stars. They're all now in the light. They have names. We're talking about them on your podcast. You know, it's like you got what you wanted, and now you're going to take pot shots at the guy that brought you here and gave you that?
Where you didn't take those shots when the TV show was on.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they were on for years on
it's
that
still
TV
bad
show.
That if that's what he did, that's what he did. But
he cried and they had sex with him because they felt sorry for him. I mean, that's sort of like what normal relationships do anyway. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Oh, well, couple things. Fake cried. By the way, how do they know he fake cried?
They said his acting was really bad.
Well, then don't fuck him.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, if you can tell from 10 feet away he's a horrible actor, then don't blow him.
And they came out to be on a TV show not as a thruple, but as a quadruple. Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know.
My beef with Playboy. They should have never let in fake tits. That's where they crossed the line for me.
Because then they all look the same.
They're like, look, your job is find the most beautiful girl next door. The girl next door wasn't living with a plastic surgeon, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, the Playboy models of my youth were some of just hottest, naturally God touched by the hand of God in a non-sexual way, touched by the hand of God, beautiful bosoms, beautiful everything. They should have had a no boob job, no anything, no work. There's a hot 19-year-old born every day. They're younger, but eventually they become 19. You get the metaphor. The point is they should have never let the boob jobs in.
That's why I did the magazine. It's very interesting that you say that because they asked
you
me many
posed
years,
in 2003.
I was on the cover and I did it. And I was like, for my whole life, I'm like, no, I don't want to show my body. And it's like, I went to live in Europe and came back and I thought, you know, I feel really good about my body and there's like topless beaches in, you know, Europe and stuff. And I wanted to, I don't know, I had this fashion photographer that wanted to shoot me for the magazine. I'm like, you know what? Why the hell not? I feel like I've gotten into really good shape and I'm all natural. I wanted to be the anti-bunny, if you were. Mm-hmm. All natural, you know, nothing, whatever. And you can see the pictures. It's like, this is a natural Polynesian island girl kind of vibe. And that was sort of my thing. I didn't want to be like wearing, you know, lacy socks and high heel shoes and, you know, all done like that. I wanted to be a natural native looking woman. And that's what I accomplished in that pictorial.
They've been coming after you for years.
Yeah. They wanted me to do it since I was like, I just wish it didn't say Tia Karen nude. It's like natural or something. You know what I mean? Would have been nicer. You know what I mean? That's the only thing that offended me about it.
If you see those
nude
bars by the airport, they don't
all
say all
live
they don't
nude.
Say all natural. Nobody would come in.
But see, all natural would have been nice considering what you were saying about how you wish Playboy had, you know, embraced that as opposed to going into the
They jumped the shark when they went with the fake titties.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. And look, I feel the same way. Like, I had Playgirl coming after me for years. I said, we'll do something tasteful on a construction site.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, that would have been amazing.
I'll put the tool bags on.
Around,
and the boots,
you know,
the tool bags, and the other bag, the tool bags, and the other bags. Yeah.
But I said tasteful, yep. Tasteful. Yes. That's the whole thing.
Rugged, dirt, concrete.
I wonder if Playgirl was. Now I know it sounds insane. No, Playgirl.
Somebody
never,
Photoshop a picture of Adam like that, please.
Right. Nobody came after me, but if Playgirl was around, when the man show was on, it would make some sense that they would ask me and Jimmy to pose naked.
I didn't even know there was a Playgirl. That was There was?
Oh, don't play
hadn't
straight.
Hadn't it already ended by the time you guys were...
That's what guys who try to pretend they're straight say.
No,
I didn't heard of such a thing. Cult Roundup? You mean there's a publication made for gay gentlemen? Oh, yeah. Playgirl was founded in 1973.
Mm-hmm. When did it end?
It says 2016, but it must have been.
No.
Well, that was like online or something like that. But okay. I mean, it used to be full magazines.
Yeah, I know.
At this
wasn't it Burt Reynolds?
7-Eleven.
Was the first one. Burt Reynolds. It was a fold out. Wasn't he in that?
He was in Cosmo.
He was in Cosmo? I thought it was Playgirl. Am I wrong?
I'm pretty sure that the Burt Reynolds laying on the bearskin rug.
Yeah. With his chest rug.
Yeah.
Was Cosmo.
Oh.
Cosmopolitan. Interestingly
right.
enough.
Cosmo.
That's crazy.
Now who's oh, wait a minute. I am. Jesus Christ. I never thought about that. June 1971. That was Cosmo. But the mind is interesting, right? Because Cosmopolitan magazine is a woman's magazine or something, 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 high fashion. You just wouldn't think of Burt Reynolds doing a spread in there. That's why
it
made,
that's why you remember it.
That's why
it
made all the whatever. But in your head, you move them over to Playgirl because that makes sense.
Mm, yeah.
Thank God.
But Adam.
I disavowed you of that notion.
Kept it on Cosmo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. You remember the
So
Cosmo.
It went to 2016. It was probably like online or whatever.
It started online in 2009.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the beginning of the end. Now, here's the question. There are iconic brands, and the brands have a value to them. So I'm just putting it out there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a car guy. Bugatti made cars in like the 20s and 30s and won all the Grand Prix and stuff, and then were gone. Mm-hmm. They're just gone. Popped up in the early 90s for 10 minutes, didn't really work, went away again. Now there is Bugatti. And there's lots of other brands that are kind of that way, where it's like, if you would have said to somebody, what's Bugatti worth in 2000? The answer would be, well, nothing. They don't make cars. They don't do anything. But somebody would go, but people do know the name.
Yeah.
And so the name is worth something if somebody wants to get hold of it and redo. And I may be oversimplifying it, but what I'm saying is what's Playboy worth? Well, they don't have any clubs. They don't have any subscriptions. They don't have any online viewers. There's no magazine. There's nothing. But everyone knows the name Playboy. I mean, everyone knows what that is. So what's that intellectual property worth? And is somebody...
And who owns it now?
Like they did with Bugatti and many bring other brands, mm-hmm. get hold... There's, you know,
yeah,
brands
for nostalgia.
That make, brands that make purses that went away, but someone will bring them back.
And it's, you know, worth, I mean, even more when they bring it back.
If they bring it back, right.
Right.
And you could bring it back with all natural titties.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your next job.
All right. Let's we're not going to do any better. We're not going to do any better than that. Do we have an outro? I guess we don't.
That's the outro. All natural titties.
That's the outro.
All right. Well, let me tactfully go into our very last sponsor, K12.com. One more control over your child's education. You check out our sponsor, K12.com. Tuition-free online school that fits your life. Personalize your child's education and let them learn their way at their pace. Using tech for their generation. Learning is flexible, interactive, and fun at K12.com/podcast. You can explore curriculum and see success stories from some of the 2 million plus families. Classes are taught by passionate state certified teachers, and your child can develop social skills with field trips, clubs, and activities. K12 has helped families take control of the child's education for 20 years plus, and you can too. Take charge today at K12.com/podcast. That's K12.com/podcast. Michael Yo, the special I Never Thought is available on YouTube. It is very funny. I recommend it highly. Dates coming up, Denver, Milwaukee. You can find out where he's going to be at MichaelYo.com. All right. Let me tell you about the Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this podcast. It is the Jordan Harbinger Show. If you like fascinating podcasts and interesting people, then you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone. No matter what you're into, Jordan talks to Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter, or you go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life. Like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. We enjoy the show. We've had Jordan on a few times, been on this show. He's been on me and Drew's show a few times. We know you're going to as well. So it's the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you find it on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to finer podcasts. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show. Tia Carrere, well, Easter Sunday, the movie, as of course, with Joe Coy, our favorite. And then live dates, Tracy, California, Grand Theater, Center for the Arts, September 24th, Blue Note, Napa, beautiful.
25th,
and M-I-M.
If you're in L.A., the MIM in Phoenix, yep. And then I'm going to be here ending in October at the Irvine Performing Arts Center, so nice. Y'all can drive there.
TiaCarrere.com is where you go for that. I'm going to be in Austin, Texas at Cap City Comedy Club September 9th and 10th. Until next time, for Tia and Michael and Max Zapata, this is Adam saying mahalo.
Pick up your copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see the A's, man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico Easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.